Now you have to think about to start working something out. Do you have in that case any particular desire? Which direction are your wishes, for worse? Dirakab, Gerda interrupted, you must grant him a period of refreshing rest after the strenuous work he has done. You have not followed him as closely as I and not seen how bravely he has struggled with himself. We've hardly had any joy with him, so busy he has been on his mission. Yes, it was not too much that he now has a period of spare time, agreed Kulgaran. We've just planned some nice trips in the neighborhood. He has not had time to look around, he has served as a hermit in his cave, isolated from the rest of the world. Feel free to let him rest, if you have the desire and need, replied Akab, and least of all, I would not put any damper on the joy you are to mentor him and yourself, but it would be nice to hear what he might want to undertake himself. I have a craving, I replied, but I also feel that I am still ill-equipped to anything to it. What is it? Gerd asked eagerly. I had such admiration for those who first received me, when I came rushing headlong into this world, the lovely Guru. I have often thought about how happy he must be, who can do so much good. And I have desired to come and help him. To fill such a place as his, require large forces, that you do not possess, but you could try to become a little help to him in his difficult vocation. I will try to prepare you a place in the large hospital. But first you have some time enjoying your freedom with your friends. I feel also another yearning, I said. There is a desire for knowledge. I have Kulgaran heard that there should be such a good school not far from here, where he is studying. I know so little history of the world, it would be so instructive to hear about the major happenings amongst peoples of the earth. Yes, it would be much better, fell Kulgaran. Drop the idea of the hospital and follow me instead of my studies. I do not think he should suppress his desire to accomplish something good, replied Akab. Would his forces there fail him, he can come back and sit with you to school. Education, do we all need? Now followed a great time, I do not even want to try to portray. We made trips together in different directions, and I enjoyed most of everything new and beautiful things I saw and experienced. What life is rich and diverse! Many valuable acquaintances I had, and all were good to me. But the more I came in contact with others, the more I felt the pressure of my own limitations. All were superior to me, I thought, not only in knowledge, but also in spiritual power. It began to call out within me that the life I had was not befitting one who was so far behind others. I thanked my dear friends for all they did for me and all the joy they brought me, and so we decided to part for some time. Gerda moved up to her true home, Kulgaran stayed for some time in their school and I went to the hospital, where Akab obtained a pitch for me under my beloved Guru. Here was expecting me a difficult duty, never could I imagine that it was so difficult. It was important to receive unhappy people from the earth, and especially those, like myself, who had thrown themselves into the darkness, without any thought that there could be a life after death. It was heartbreaking to see the despair which took possession of these creatures, when they awoke to full consciousness, to hear their moans and anguish cry. Some raged and cursed, others cried and moaned. How did I not recognize myself in these poor? It brought my memories back to life, and little was that I had joined their weeping and wailing. But I could not do so. I had just got the task to comfort and encourage the comparatively calmer, to sustain their weak forces, and submit them hope by talking about how I myself was in the same condemnation, but had been helped. So to that I was more appropriate than the Guru, because the unfortunates generally easier perceived me and heard what I said to them, because I was at my low level of development, closer and had a tighter, more visible astral body, whereas the Guru had generally very difficult to make his light, airy body perceptible, and his presence felt among those we should help. But when it came to actually treat these unfortunates, to relieve their pain and calm their fury, then was not my small forces enough, as then it was Guru who helped. It sometimes came to the real wrestling matches, between him and his patients, and it was strange to see how surprised they were, being overpowered by someone they could not see. The dear guru, what he was strong, and what he was good. It would have been a very challenging job I gave myself into, and several times swayed my strength so that I was ready to declare it, but I was ashamed before the guru and held out as best I could. One day he came to me and said, "You shall follow me to the earth, there is someone down there who are crying out for you." I was soon ready and we went away. Faster travel, I have never done. Guru held me in his strong arms, and we cut like a flash through space. It was the first time I saw the earth. How strange everything seemed to me there. I looked and saw everything very clearly, but it was as if the material world was no longer as true as ever. We came to a sick bed, there was an elderly woman apparently dying. She was very thin and weak, she coughed hard and persistent. At the moment, she was not fully ready, she lay delirious and muttered half aloud something about evil people who wanted her misfortune. Suddenly she cried, "Wolfgang! Wolfgang, come here, you will hear and help me. It's your fault. Give me something to drink. I am dying of thirst. But do not provide water. True Burgundian should it be. Hurry up. I'm dying." "Do you recognize her?" asked the guru. "Yes, it must be Gertrude," I replied. "But so changed and so miserable. She has been through a lot, since you both went separate ways. Look around you, so you can read excerpts from her story." There was a large room with old expensive furnitures, but everything bore witness to the most lamentable decay. Dirty rags were thrown in the corners, and empty bottles under the bed, and the astral atmosphere was so obnoxious that it was a real plague to stay. I stood still for a moment and listened to her troubled spirit breath. Then I saw the pictures appear, aura pictures from her life, which was pictured in the astral light. I saw drinking party where it went merrily, where high amounts of money traded, orgies where passions flare untamed frenzy, and everywhere she was in the center around which everything was buzzing. Now she lay alone abandoned, poor and dead tired. Poor her. What it made me feel sorry for her. "She's not far from going," said the guru, "we have to wait for her." I made a suggestion that I probably should stay, but I could feel guru was pained by this whole environment, and I suggested that he should return. "Dear friend," he said, "you have a debt that binds you to her, and that you to some extent seek reapply, because I want us to take her with us to a hospital. Any good, can we do for her? But you alone cannot handle her." So this was Gertrude, who in her youth, bewitched me so, and then chained me with such strong ties that I went as her slave from one bad act to the other. Why did she have this power over me? Why did I choose her and not Gerda? Was it my greed, or something that lay even deeper into my being? Strange dark mysteries of life, when shall I have the solution? The diseased had become still. She slept with short, strange breathing. An elderly woman came in and messed up a little in the room, looked at the sick, made a grimace, and went out again. Now came a new attack of coughing, violent and persistent, then the life band burst and spirit began to liberate itself. This was apparently associated with severe pain, but the guru helped her and soon she was free. But what she looked like, dark and obnoxious. Guru wrapped her in a cloak, and we took her with us, and brought her home. A heavy burden it was. Guru was right, alone, I had not been able to handle her. She had, when we lay down our burden on a bed at the hospital, not yet awakened to consciousness and did not have any perception of us. I was set to watch over her. Never shall I forget her surprise when she finally opened her eyes and saw me. Curiously, she immediately recognized me. "Is that really you?" she said. "So, you still came at last, and came to see me. They told me you were dead, that you had killed yourself, so it was not true. Oh, you bad, who have not come before, but allowed me to be here alone and suffer loneliness. I have such a horrible cough and I'm thirsty. Give something strong, so I can get forces, lest I die." "You are already dead," I said. "What are you talking nonsense? If you are not sober, Look around. Do you recognize yourself here? It is so dark. Light a candle so I can see nothing. Guru had arrived. He touched her several times over the eyes. Now it seemed as if she saw anything clearer. She looked about her with wondering eyes. But Guru, she was not able to see. What's this mean? Have they moved me? Why did I not stay in my home? Where am I now? Answer me, is it you who brought me away? It is yourself, who have moved away from the earth, into spirit world. Your body is dead and buried, but your soul lives on, and lies here ill at the hospital. You are crazy. Go away and send me a wise person I can talk to. Help. She cried in the same. Help. It goes around in my head. She began to beat with her arms around her. Guru held her hands until she became still, then she fell into a stupor and was a long time motionless. But why should I dwell on these sad memories? Surely it was so that she had many such bouts of dizziness and wild outbreaks when only the Guru was able to get her calmed down, and that it took a long time, many years of earthly time reckoning, before she came to the realization that she moved to another world. But when she was forced to admit that it was so, she was almost wild with despair, and cried that she wanted to return to earth again, to all its pleasures and amusements. Then Guru gave her some strong magnetic strokes. She became quiet and stared in astonishment around. Only now she became aware of her benefactor. Who are you? She said, horrified, you've come to judge me? No, I just want to help you, replied the Guru. But she did not hear his voice. She cringed and tried to hide from the light which emanated from him. We went out and left her alone. She has now come to as much clarity, said the Guru, that I cannot help her anymore. She has to leave hospital and move to the residence she prepared herself. You should follow her on the road as far as you can. Where should I keep her? I cannot find her residence. They'll probably be the one who leads you. Do I stay with her? Now you are strict, Guru. No, just follow her as far as you can. Then you come back here again. But if she does not want to go from here? Do not worry, she'll will, all right. After a while I went into her again. How do you feel now, Gertrude? I asked. Good, very good, but now I do not want to stay longer at this facility. I do not thrive here. That bright man I do not like, he looks so stern. Come, let us go, you follow the course with me. I do not really like you either, you look so hypocritical, but you can come with me and help me, you see. So we went then together, her and me. But it was not easy to follow her, for she almost ran away ahead. And what a way! It went out and down, and performed an increasingly steep slope. Oh, it became increasingly dark around us. She turned on. Can you not follow me? She said. You are a coward. But still, I followed her. It went down precipitous, down and precipices, that I almost felt dizzy when entering, and still she was before me. Finally, she stopped at a dark pit that looked like the opening to a mine. Take me now in hand, she said, so we jump down here. Permit me to settle down. I cannot like to be in this light up here, it really hurts the eyes. Ark, what there was dark. No, there I will not follow you, I said. Are you afraid you're coward? Come on, you must go with me, you see. She took a firm grip on my wrist and wanted to take me with her. It came to a wrestling between us, but I tore myself away and she disappeared with a mocking laugh into the depth. Of all horrible I felt, this was almost the worst. I sat a long while, staring into the darkness behind her, until I felt an indescribable feeling of powerlessness. What could I do to help her? Was there no salvation for such a soul? And the strangest thing of all, she wanted to get down there by herself. In my helplessness I clasped my hands and prayed to God that he might take pity on her. It was my first request, prayer for this unfortunate woman, it would not be my last. I got up and went home. Had it been difficult to go the way down, It was now so much easier to go up again. It was like I had wings, and soon I was back by my beloved guru. While I was away, there had been bids from a cab that I should quit my service in the hospital and move back to Kulgaran to begin my studies. It was with tears I parted from guru, but how much easier it was now compared to the first time. He asked me to visit as often as I had time and inclination, and so we parted for a hearty handshake. From my school days I have not much to tell, not because it was not a very important role in my development, but because it was not for the others to offer anything of particular interest, and I must try to limit myself so that my story will not be boring. Would just like to mention that it was a blessed time, full of the most pleasant impressions. And so fine we had together, Kulgaran and me. He was a little ahead of me in all subjects, but because of that, he was me much of help too. When I was stuck in a problem, it was usually he who solved it. But his mind was more about philosophy, mine to the practical sciences and history. Our holidays we spent ever with Gerda. What a paradise she lived in, yes, I will not bid to describe. She was staying with some friends, whom she knew from way back in earlier stages of development. They had formed a small colony, where they busied themselves partly by self-study, and with art and music, and also to seek out wayward people in the world and work for their salvation. It was truly a feast to come to these friends. Always they had a special pleasure to invite us. Once we got to follow them to a great feast that was celebrated in an even higher realm. Something so wonderful, I had never before experienced. It was a great religious festival, to which it flowed a lot of listeners from different spheres. There was talk, but not those monotonous, tedious sermons, which usually characterize the underground church festivals. No, it was exhilarating and fun-provoking. And such music. Never had I thought that the choir could fade so overwhelmingly beautiful. But how beautiful it all was, had I not had the desire or even been able to stay up there. It was so bright that it almost blinded my eyes, and I was pretty pleased to get back to my school again. Involuntarily, I think of that poor Gertrude who did not tolerate the dim light she had about her, but longed into the darkness. Light and darkness are very relative concept. So passed many years of earthly measure of time. A cab sometimes came to visit us. On one such occasion, he told me that he had visited Gertrude and gave a heart-rending account of her plight. "She's probably still very stubborn," he said, "but has, however, softened by all that she has suffered. It's great," he added, "that there is a fund that eventually bend even the stiffest knees, and this medium is not more stringent than they barely needs to be, and indeed this is only the natural consequence of our actions." "Can we not do anything for her?" I asked. "I have so often thought about her and think it's so hard to not be able to help her, as I am so fine now." "Yet it would be premature. You would not do any good to approach her. On the contrary, it would rather bring her defiance. But the day will come and years may not be so remote, then you should step in to offer her a helping hand. I will give you the bid, where you can go down. Even Kulgaran must stand ready to assist, when I find the time has come. I think he has to come before you. What you are good, Akab, who committed you to her too." "I am committed to both of you," he said emphatically on the last words, "for you belong together, as strange as it may look. In any case, you have a debt to her, and therefore it is first you, who are given the task to rescue her." I felt an unpleasant chill pass through me at these words. Was I not free yet? Would she still be able to control me? And what could I, the weaker, do to save her, by far the stronger? It was a task that lay so heavy on my shoulders. And what I owed to her. Was it not she who had led me into destruction? All these questions crossed themselves in my head, and I could not keep back the matter to Akab. "What have I done, Gertrude, that I shall carry on such a debt to her?" "I cannot even tell you," he replied. "Perhaps you read the answer to your question when you least expect it." Again one of those obscure observations that I did not understand, but neither wanted to ask for explanation. An episode from my school days I have to tell. I had a real challenge, which caused me many headaches. I would have recourse to the lectures I listened to, writing a dissertation on the ancient Egyptian culture at Hermes' time. My notes from these lectures, however, were very incomplete, and other sources was not available to me. Karl Garan had not complied with this lecture series and hence could not help me. I sat there very perplexed, wondering where I would turn around to get the information I needed. Then suddenly appeared before me a female figure, completely enveloped a dazzling white dress of the thinnest fabric. Completely silent, she had come into my room. If she walked through the door, or floated down through the roof, I know not. I saw her first when she was standing in front of me. She fought back the veil and showed a beautiful face of southern type, with dark eyes, which had something wonderfully charming in her eyes. The head was framed by dark curls that fell around the neck and shoulders. Had this happened to me on Earth, I would have called it a ghost from another world, but now I found myself in that other world. Was it ghosts here? She smiled at the astonishment which no doubt was written in my face. "Peace be upon you, Wolfgang," she said with a voice that was almost as captivating as her eyes. "Do you not know me?" "No, who are you and where are you from?" "Your body is so thin that I can see right through it. If you are a being from a higher world than this?" Without answering, she drew the veil over her face and stood for a while still. Then she again showed her face. It was transformed. I now saw an old woman with careworn features, but her eyes were the same, as warm and friendly. "Ah," I cried, "it's you, is it really old Dortha, my dear, old friend? But what does this say? Can you transform your face to how you want?" Dortha was the wise old woman that had warned him against Mary Gertrude, which he did. "Hear me, Wolfgang," she said, as she drew back the veil over her face. "I am your old friend Dortha, who once nurtured you at my chest, and thus love you as if you were my own child. But now I have, as you correctly guessed, my residence in a higher world than this, a world which for you is as invisible as it is for the Earth people. To make me visible to you, I have been compelled to condense my body by attracting metopics of your atmosphere. My will is thus the organizing power, and you can see me either as I now live up there, or in another form that I have had in one life on Earth. It costs me much effort to retain the shape I once had, therefore I must now take that look of old Dortha in her, my new guise." She stood a moment silently, taking back the veil and showed again the same beautiful features as I first admired. I was so full of surprise that I could barely utter a word. "But why?" I stammered. "Why, how do old Dortha come so high in the world?" she interrupted my sentence. "Well, let me explain to you. I am an old spirit, who has gone through a long series of earthly lives. My past was my last payback/balance life on Earth. When I happily had finished it, I was also finished with Earth's schooling and had to move past the nearest spirit world to the next higher. Now it is not a must for me to go down again. If I do that, it becomes as a missionary." "Among the heathen?" I asked. "There are too many pagans among the so-called Christians, who need our help," she said. "But tell me, Dortha, how could you, who stood as close to perfection, having to go through such a hard and trying life on Earth?" "First of all, let me tell you that I have is infinitely far from perfection, and indeed is often the case that the last test you have to take on Earth is quite heavy. I myself had asked to take on such a difficult task, and if I succeeded, would not have to return to Earth. I had, you know, from my many lives, yet a great deal left to atone, so I went down to be a servant. There, I also made acquaintance with you, my mourning and my joy child. Yes, you had to suffer many things for me on Earth, I understood. Was it strange that I grieved when I saw where you wandered astray? But now you're my delight children. I cannot tell you how happy I am to see you as you sit here in front of me. I have followed you through all your struggles and aspirations and urged good for you in my prayers and my thoughts. Long have I waited for an opportune time to come to you. Now it was as if you had called on me. It was then easier to break through the line separating your world from mine. Have I called for you? I asked, surprised. I must confess that I had not been for many years given you a thought. You wanted help from someone who knew the ancient Egyptian cultural history. Yes, it is true, but... Do you not think Old Arthur had inside such wisdom, you mean? Why not? I was in Egypt at the time you want to portray, and had not a small social status. I can therefore speak from personal experience and give you information of great importance to your topic. If you would like, we will begin immediately. I have time to stay long. She sat down beside me. I wrote, and she dictated. When we were finished, she got up, kissed my forehead and disappeared as mysteriously as she appeared. My teacher was very surprised. That is a very masterly production, he said, and here are details that I never mentioned in my lectures, not even those whom I myself have found out. Where did you get them from? I told her how it went. You are lucky to have such helpers, he said. Now a message came that we would go our way down to Gertrude, both Cal and me. We had to go together. A cab would meet us there. I found the road. I think I never trembled so before any mission as to this. Not only that it would be very difficult, but also the pain of staying down there in the dark. My whole body tremors. But of course we have to go. The always cheerful and lively Kulgaran became quiet and serious, but he did not hesitate for a moment, and so we went on. At the mouth of the shaft where Gertrude was gone for me, we met a cab. Courage now, my friends, he said. Take me one in each hand, so we step down, but prepare yourselves that it is terrible scenes we have to see. We sank slowly down, deep in the inner of the mountain. It was both dark and cold, but a cab had with him a small light, and warm outerwear for all three of us down there. We walked through long tunnels, where the water trickled down from the walls and arches were covered with stalactite. On both sides there were caves, blasted into the rock, some open, others closed with gates and thick beams. From most of them, were heard moans and cries and a few oaths and curses. We met someone who already at a distance appeared shiny white. When he came near us, we saw that he was a high spirit that radiated light around him. He nodded kindly to Akab. It was one of the guards down here, said Akab, if one can even call them that. They watch over the unfortunate, always ready to bring them comfort when they are able to receive it, and to bring them out of here, when they are finished with themselves, their very lower selves. It is a hard work, as it requires an unwavering faith and a burning zeal to go on with. But they are also real heroes, those who engage in this sacrificial service. Remark, this is the same work principle that the social workers in the physical usually cities, due to save dope addicted / narco captured in underground milieus. They also are often, usually rejected and sent back, away by the junkies. Rune remark. Conchayu's upbreeding. Now we were at the goal. In a small hole at the side of the tunnel, Gertrude sat crouched. She had not noticed us. Akab asked me to stay outside and we went in with Kulgaran. I could hear everything they said. At first she became aware of Akab, who she recognized. What do you want here again, she said, when you still cannot bring me out of here? It can be none other than yourself. A full and contrite confession of all that you did, is the only thing that can free you from this darkness. I have confessed all. It was me who killed my father, it was me who stole his fortune, it was I who seduced my husband to play, it was me. Here she fell silent. You even hide on something that gnaws your conscience, I see, said Akab. You understand that you must open your heart completely to let the divine light flow in and warm your frozen spirit. Maybe you want to trust you to an old friend, who I brought with me today. Do you recognize him? She let out a scream when she recognized her brother, and then it was silent for a long while there inside. When she recovered from the fright which the unexpected meeting developed, ensued a long conversation between brother and sister.